Well, I'm not here primarily to give anybody a history lesson, in this case about Richard Hobson. The intention is more to contribute to our spiritual well-being and also within the context of the whole service. And this man, Richard Hobson, was born in Ireland in 1831, and he came from a family which knew the God of the Scriptures and prayed to him. They were Protestants surrounded by Roman Catholics. The godly influences which he felt as a youngster made such an impression upon him that he was never aware of a conversion experience as such. Writing when he was in his 70s, he records that there had never been a moment in his life when he could not recall doing other than taking delight in the things of God. His earliest experiences were having a living relationship of trust in Christ. But although the family was spiritually rich, it was appallingly poor. The house was small, it had an earth floor, the thatch didn't keep out the rain. The beds were just wooden boards raised slightly from the earth floor. He was perpetually hungry. He was dressed in rags. When he got to be 21, he was accepted as an evangelist by Irish Church Missions. This was an organisation run by the Anglicans to reach Roman Catholics in Ireland. The story of what he did there is told in his book, which he wrote after his retirement, What Hath God Wrought, published 93 years ago. During his 11 years with Irish Church Missions, there were 400 people who left the Roman Catholic Church and professed saving faith in Christ. Age 32, we find him training for the ministry at St. Aidan's Theological College in Birkenhead. After ordination, he went to a church in Claughton, Birkenhead. At that time, the church was a very strong evangelical parish. Hobson records that he'd never seen such wealth as he saw in Birkenhead. Over in Liverpool, he heard of a new parish that was being carved out of a particularly big one, and the minister over at Claughton suggested Hobson might make a suitable pastor for it. The parish was in what my A to Z still calls Windsor. It's nearly 2 miles away from where you're sitting at this moment. Give you a clue, it's on both sides of Upper Parliament Street. Grove Street is on one side and Kingsley Road is on the other. In 1868, that parish was 16 acres. 16 acres of sin, outsiders called it. It was full of narrow, smoky streets, inhabited cellars, a hotbed of fever, disease, and in one street, every house was a brothel. A home missionary was really needed. Hobson was that sort of man. He was now 37. On the day he arrived in November 1868, he decided to get started straight away. Collected together one man and three women in Oliver Street's cellar number 6. Records in the book that he sang Rock of Ages. He read the parable of the lost sheep, he spoke a few words, and he prayed twice. And that day, the man was converted and became an active Christian worker. And as Hobson put it, Michael Burke became the first drop of what was to become a shower of blessing. On his first Sunday in Windsor, they met in the premises of the Ragged School, all 30 of them. And that winter, 40 people came to saving faith in Christ. A church building called St. Nathaniel's was erected, paid for by the Liverpool Church Extension Society. That was 1869. Building you're sitting in was built in 1862. St. Nathaniel's cost £4,000. This cost £10,592. The rich Methodists could pay £6,000 more. Hobson, who knew poverty, was overwhelmed by his task. I've got to bring the gospel of free grace into such a mire of sin and poverty and sheer dirt. He says over and over again, I went to the throne of grace for direction and strength. He had a definite plan. In the morning service, he always preached consecutively through the Bible. He says his favourite commentary was Matthew Henry. In the evening, he was always topical, or nearly always. And every day, he was out visiting 6 hours a day. Saturdays, only 3 hours. That makes 33 hours a week. And he did that for 33 years. Perhaps I should add that he was not married, and perhaps it was just as well, because if you think of the time it took up, along with sermon preparation, it was probably just as well he was single. In 1870, Liverpool had a smallpox outbreak, and Hobson knew it was spread by contact, and yet he determined to visit every house where smallpox came. Nothing so brought him the goodwill, even of the enemies of the gospel, as that risky decision. He's going to church one Sunday in 1886, and he saw Johnny, a cripple on crutches, hobbling along just as it was about to rain. So Hobson piggybacked him into his seat in church. And after that, two men always called at Johnny's to take him to church. That story gives you an insight into the sort of man Hobson was, his character. After 11 years, he records in his autobiography, I stood amazed at the abundance of God's blessing. Do you realise this? On Census Sunday 1881, when he'd only been there 11 years, out of a civil population of 4,255, in the parish of Windsor, 3,404 attended public worship. He had a little army of converted workers, mostly men. J.C. Ryle made it his parish church, and he said the reason was it was so obvious that the Holy Spirit was working there. Open airs were never taken by Hobson. He didn't need to. There were these converted workers who led them. There were 1,700 Sunday school children in 1881. There were 17 Bible classes with 600 adults on the registers. The street of the brothels was completely transformed. In fact, it wasn't done by the police either. It was done by the gospel. Hobson mentions the police came along to thank him. Hobson was a full-orbed Calvinist. So don't ever think that the Reformed faith hinders evangelism. At one service, three converted Roman Catholics from his parish, now ordained into the Church of England ministry, took the service. One preached, one led the prayers, and the other read the Bible. And 12 other men also entered the ministry. At his church, the first week of every year was a week of prayer. And when Liverpool's 1 o'clock gun sounded, and we did have one until the 1960s, for those of you who don't know, Hobson taught his people to pray an arrow prayer. O Lord, for Jesus Christ's sake, send me thy Holy Spirit. Congregational picnic seemed always to go to hail. Imagine 27 horse-drawn buses going from Upper Parliament Street out to Hale. I'm sure the residents must have been terrified. When Hobson fell ill, Ryle offered him a new parish, a country parish, easier, with a better stipend than £230 a year. It's called Garston. Hobson declined. He was always looking for favourable opportunities to witness for Christ. He did this by matching questions to suitable circumstances which arose in his casual conversations. Just listen to some of the questions he put to people he met. He almost speaks from the grave to us. Is God often in your thoughts? Are you born again? Do you feel yourself growing in grace? Have you delight in serving God? Do you have communion with God by prayer? Are you ready to die? Well, Hobson was ready, and he was 83 when he died in 1914. Where do we stand in relation to those sort of questions?